visiting with us, but I feel right at home. We're here to serve the Lord and enjoy hearing His God, hearing God's word. I'd like to remind you next Sunday, invite you out to Sunday school. We're be in chapter 4 of Genesis. We're going to start talking about Cain and Abel. So we had an interesting study this month. We enjoyed Genesis. We're going to continue through on it. So we encourage you to be a part of that. And we dig into God's word and explore it and grow where we can serve the Lord better. So we encourage you to be a part of that. Remember our patch and TV patch program. You've got young people in that age range. Well, they're downstairs meeting right now. We encourage you to be a part of that. I think you'll have a good time in that as well. According to the list here, only got one birthday listed. It's Wilma Rice, and she's not with us. So has anybody else had a birthday this week? Nobody got any old? All right. What about anniversaries? Don't have any listed. Anybody have an anniversary that we missed? Okay. Well, I'll turn it over to Brother Gary then.
So I'll stand and turn to page 486. Jesus is Lord of all.
It's good to see each one this morning in God's house, and I'll go ahead and open this up in prayer. Lord, our most kind and loving Father, we thank you, Father, for this day, for the many blessings of life. And Father, we just praise you and we just love you, Father. Father, we pray for those, Father, that are sick and suffering this morning. Father, we just pray for the lost. Father, just convict their hearts. Father, we just pray for those that's lost loved ones this morning. Father, just be with them and comfort them. And we just love you and praise you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can all be seated. Got just a few announcements this morning. I guess start off with, I guess if you noticed, Brother Tim and Ron is not going to be here today. They've had a death in the family. Rocky Lilly has passed away, so I don't know a whole lot about it. I didn't really pry into it. I mean, you know, so I figure they'll tell us when they want us to know. But anyway, they're not. We got Brother David Reese here this morning. He's going to preach to us, and then tonight I think Brother J.M. is going to have something for us. So just remember that. Remember Monday night, the Appalachian Association Jubilee. The service is going to be over at Eastside, Sam Road. There will be a meal at 6 o'clock Monday night. And this service will go on into Tuesday night. They're going to have it again Tuesday night. It's kind of like a little revival, but there's not going to be a meal. So all those, you know, that want to go to that, that's a, would be, you know, a good service to go to. So remember that. Then tonight was supposed to be our board meeting, but we're just going to move it to next Sunday night. So we'll just move, set it back a week. Also, Wednesday was going to be our board meeting. We'll move it. Or business meeting. We'll move it back a week. We'll just set them back a week. So they can have time to take care of this and their family. Next Sunday morning will be communion service. So everyone remember this. Try to come be here Father Sunday if you can. And I think that's all. Did I forget anything, Donna? Anything else?
We've got Pastor Appreciation Month this month, and the 28th, that Sunday night, we're going to have a, looks like a potluck dinner right now, so everybody remember that, bring something and a dessert and a drink, so that will be the last Sunday this month, 28th.
Does anybody else have an announcement?
Hey, Ray, I've got a few here.
Okay.
Pack them, and I need a thing of small drinks, a little canned drinks.
Okay, everybody, everyone heard that now. Dennis has needed some help with the youth, and it's for a good cause, Fall Fest, and like he said, you know, you never know, maybe get some kid in there and get them saved. So everybody remember this, remember what he said there. Try to help him out if you can. Has anybody else got anything? Remember this announcement too, that, you know, Christmas will be upon us before we know it. So time has a way of slipping away, so just remember that also. Anybody else got anything? Sound like somebody's blowing up. Nobody else has an announcement to I'll start taking prayer requests at this time. We'll have an altar of prayer this morning. Like I said, do remember Brother Tim and Rhonda and the family. They've had a real close one there that's a death. So just remember them this morning. Does anyone else have a spoken request?
They hadn't told right.
Anyone else have a yes? Okay, let's remember Tyler this morning. Someone else have a spoken request this morning. Okay. Yes, let's remember our shut-ins. Some of them's really sick, so let's remember them this morning as we pray. Okay. Anyone else have spoken requests this morning?
I've lost my family and I've had a couple unspoken.
Okay.
I have a special
unspoken. Okay. Just remember this. Anyone else have anything? I know there's a lot of unspoken, and we have a lot to pray about this morning. Let's each one that will come gather. We'll gather around the altar and have an altar of prayer. I do remember Brother David, because he'll be bringing us a message in a little while.
Father, we just pray for the people of the world.
Lord, just fill us up with your spirit, Lord.
God, we pray this morning for this church, this leadership, pray that you anoint them. God, you give them guidance through these times, forgive us our sins, cleanse our hearts, make us the best we usually today.
Lord,
we thank you for it, pray that you praise you for it. Lord, we ask for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All these things, we ask in the name of Jesus and give him the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Peace. across between Jeopardy and musical chairs. Because the thing, it's got the answers and questions on you at the pace that the next person is. Time's running out the whole time. If you get stuck with it when it runs out, then you lose.
This time, we'll ask the ushers to come and we'll receive a morning tithes and offering. Ask Brother Nathan if he would thank the Lord for the offering.
Lord, just thank you here for another day you provided for us and how good you've been through us. Lord, I just pray you pay for the service today. Lord, I pray you pay for this offering. Lord, bless you once it's able to give in this name. Lord, I pray for this offering to be used. Your name be with you. Most sweet and holy name. spouse had a birthday, would you raise your hand? There might be some new people here that don't know. Wilma's right back there in the corner. There's Wilma. So that's Wilma Rice. She had a birthday, so we sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Forevermore on that happy golden Good morning, y'all. Thinking about this song we're getting ready to sing, I won't have to worry anymore. I know the Bible says in Psalms 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And on verse 3 it says, trust in the Lord. So that's what we're supposed to do. But I don't know about y'all, but I think all of us, maybe not everybody, a lot of people worry about a lot of things. And we got a lot of things, that anxious moments we have. But I know the Lord will take care of things, but one day we won't have to worry anymore. So,
amen.
Isn't that great? We won't have no anxious moments. Everything will be okay. And I was thinking this morning, when the disciples, Jesus, went out on the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up, Jesus could have left them. But you see, he could have walked on the waters and left them out there in the storm, but he didn't. He was asleep in the boat, but he is in the boat. And he's not mine, your boat. And he's in the preacher and his family's boat this morning. And he's with them. So isn't that good?
Amen.
So the good Lord let me think of that this morning. I'm glad he never leaves us and he's always in the boat. Pray for Mel and I as we sing this song.
At this time, I ask Brother David to come on and just preach what God's put on your heart, brother.
Hadn't planned on singing. One of the ladies asked us to sing. Brother Tim called me last night. Actually, Rhonda called me yesterday afternoon crying and said, Tim will call you later, that if you can, we'd love to have you come preach tomorrow morning because we've had a death in the family. Death in any family is a trauma. You can be ready for it, you think. You can know it's coming. You can have a day in mind when somebody's going to die. And they die on that day, and you're still not ready. Amen. Somehow, when a family member leaves, there's a hole appears in your mind and in your heart. And Brother Tim, Miss Ronnie have a big hole in their heart today. But we'll do our best to fill in for him. You have a great pastor, and I love him. Home of the soul.
Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear it. Better hit it again. I'll hit the wrong key. I'll try to listen this time. If for that's too high, if for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on that eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there, he is the light off in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there, he is the light off in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Better move some of that out of my way. If not, it'll get too loud for you, and I don't want you folks getting blasted too much. I love Brother Tim. You know that. He's one of my boys. That's what I call him. One of my boys, and I love him with all my heart. And it breaks my heart when one of my boys is hurt, and Tim's suffering today from the loss. And so I appreciate it if y'all would pray for your pastor and his wife, because this is indeed a great blow to them. They need your prayers. They need your encouragement. I'm sure Tim will share details with you and me when he's ready, as we was told earlier. And we'll trust the Lord to give him the grace of God in this period of today and tomorrow. Okay? God bless you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 40, Psalm number 40. One of the ladies told me, appreciated me coming on such short notice. The Bible says we're to be instant in season and out of season as the ministers of the gospel. And this is not really too short a notice. Several years ago when I was a young preacher, I went into the mountains of Virginia and was in a service in a church I'd been in a few times as a guest, I guess, but went in after I surrendered to preach, and preacher looked at me and he said, Brother David's here tonight, he's going to preach. I had no message, no idea what to do. And he said, you're going to preach. I said, no, I can't preach tonight. I'm not prepared. He said, Brother David's going to preach. We're going to give him 10 minutes to prepare. Now, that's short notice. I said, God, I'm in a fix. If you don't get me out of it, I'm in big trouble. And I got up and read scripture that the Lord put on my heart and preached for about 25 minutes. So God delivered me. So this is not really very short notice, but it indeed is something I wanted to do to help Brother Tim out today. In Psalm chapter 40, let me read to you beginning in verse 1. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You ever been waiting for God to do something for you? You'll relate to this a little bit. So I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wondrous works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned or counted in number, up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written to me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. But be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put into shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, aha, aha. Let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and then we'll thank the Lord for the moments ahead. Father, it's wonderful to be here in the house of the Lord. We thank you for the great privilege that's extended to me to be in this wonderful church today with this great people. We know, Lord, there are days ahead of trouble and trial for all of us, just as Brother Tim, Sister Rhonda, and Joanne are going through today. But Lord, you know the need that we all have. You know the need that they have. And so, Father, I pray that the grace of God, as pure and rich as it is, will be sufficient for them today and in our days as well. Now, Lord, I pray for this message. You gave it to me yesterday afternoon. And I pray that, Lord, you use it this morning to reach our hearts. I pray for myself. I know that, Lord, I'm just a man. And I know that, Lord, you can reach out and touch us men. And so, Father, I pray this morning you start on the stage where I am. You speak to me. The Lord, you'd speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl in the congregation today. Find the heart that is reaching for the Lord, the heart that needs to be touched. And I pray, God, today, you do a work in us that only God can do. Help us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for letting me be here today. It's a privilege indeed to be among you. and share the Word of God with you just for a few moments. Now, a lot of people like the idea of having a way to think about things, so I want to give you a way to think about this. First of all, as a subject, you might think about the confident cry unto God. A cry usually means there's some trauma, some situation, some disaster. There's some circumstance that's come up in our life that would cause us to cry out unto God. We've found ourselves before the Lord. But then you put the word confident in front of it. It means that you have an assurance that even in the trauma, there's going to be a hand of God that's undeniable. And so you find the confident cry of David goes out unto God. And it's just exactly that. Now, those verses that are in Psalm 40, some of them are called messianic. That means they apply to the Lord Jesus as the Messiah of Israel. And indeed, they were used by him or about him in the New Testament. And so you see this and you understand it. But, pardon me, I'm sure that when David wrote them, he didn't realize it. He just wrote what God had placed on his heart. Now, it's very possible that when David wrote this psalm, he was still running from King Saul. He was still running for his life. He and his army many times hid out from Saul and didn't want a direct confrontation with the king of Israel. He wanted God to handle the king of Israel. He had already been anointed the king by Samuel. So he knew the kingdom was coming to him. He knew that Saul still had it. He was on a run, you might say, of one type or another. Had trauma about him. And he writes down, I'm waiting patiently for God. Now that's strange, isn't it? Isn't that kind of strange? But David was familiar with patience. I'll give you some examples. In 1 Samuel 17, Saul said, let me dress you in all of this armor. And you go out there and fight the giant for us today. And David looked at it and he said, this don't fit me. This is not who I am. This is not what God gave me. This is not what I've tried and tested. I've not proven it. I believe I'll wait on God. And so he went down to the brook and he picked up little stones, put them in his pouch, pulled his sling out. And the Bible said he advanced very rapidly toward the giant, saying that you've defied the armies of the living God this day. God will defy you. And so he's accustomed to being patient. Many times he was at war. One time God told him, said, stand still with your army. The Philistines are out there. But wait. Wait until you see the Spirit of God move through the top of the trees. And when you've waited long enough and the Spirit is gone before you, then move in. I will take the battle in hand and you will come out the winner. Many times, as I said, he was fleeing from the king of Israel. One time brought into conviction because he had cut the corner of the garment off of the king while he was using the bathroom in a cave. And he felt convicted that he had done that, assaulted even the garment of the king. And he came running out and he said, I have done wrong, and was moved. He understands what it is to wait on God. Death of Bathsheba's baby in 2 Samuel 12. Then the time of the judgment of God, when the angel stood above Jerusalem and said, God has said, I will bring the judgment of God down because of your evil, because of your numbering of Israel. And he waited and he waited on God. He stood at the threshing floor and waited for God to deliver him. Now, see, he's in the company of, or accustomed to be in the company of God and waiting and patiently before the Lord. So he waited with confidence here in Psalm 40, knowing God would do what he needed. But then the Bible records David wrote down that God had given him a favorable response. He said, he's heard my cry. Do you know what it's like to hear to cry out to God and know that God heard your cry? Well, I've had several experiences in my life with God answering my prayer and meeting the needs of my life. I remember a man who's now a victim of dementia, lives in Florida, as a matter of fact, in the area of the Great Resort there. And I do remember what happened when God put him under conviction, put him on my heart, and I prayed earnestly for him. And I knew that God had put him in a place where he could be one to the Lord. And I remember getting ready, I was at the house getting ready, trying to go over, so I could go over and tell him about Christ. And I kept praying, God, don't let him die before I get there. Don't let him die before I get there. I went over and I sat down in the front room with David Franklin, and I said to him, "I come to tell you about God today. Will you listen?" And he said, "Yes, I'll listen." I told him about the Lord. Won him to the Lord Jesus. He became one of the greatest friends of my life. But I remember saying, "God, don't let him die till I get there. Let me tell him about you." I understand waiting. You probably understand waiting and understand that God often hears our cry. And he always responds with something that is astounding to us. I remember many times when I prayed for God to touch bodies and heal them, and God would reach out and touch them. I prayed for my sister when I was about 10 years old. She had rheumatic fever. Her heart sounded like chains rattling up and down a set of stairs, the doctors told my mom. And I remember praying, "God, you've got to touch her and spare her life." Well, she's a great-grandmother now, has about four times as many great-grandchildren as I got. She wasn't supposed to live past the age of 11 or 12 or 16, a last note the doctor said, and then he give up. So I don't know how long she's going to live. But God knows how to change things because God knows how to hear our cry. God responds with something that's phenomenal. And it's always obvious that it's God that did it. God's the one who brought David through so many trials in his life. So he cried out to God confidently, waited patiently. But then that kind of prayer and that kind of patience brings deliverance like sometimes is astounding to even those around. David described it as being pulled out of a pit in verse 2 and out of miry clay. Do you know what miry clay is? It's kind of like quicksand, but not quite. The miry clay is the kind that sticks to you. It's like that sin, you know, you've been wanting God to deliver you from, you prayed about, and you've worked on it, and you've tried your best to get free from it, but there's still that sticky stuff all over you, like a Band-Aid. You know, when you take it off, you have to do something different to get the rest of the thing off. That's miry clay. David said, "God has not only pulled me up out of the pit like he did Jeremiah, but he has now pulled me out of that miry clay. I am free from the sticky and the stench. I've been freed from that which has been glued to me. God has somehow set me miraculously free." The clay and the circumstances of life are varied, and we can't sometimes describe them adequately. I've called them moments of defeat or embarrassment. Have you ever been in an embarrassing place when God would set you free? Times of weakness when you knew God didn't want you to do that and you did it anyways. You knew it's not what a child of God's supposed to be. And yet it happened to you. Yet it happened when God lifts you up out of that mire, out of that clay, and sets you free from it. You're glad that he did. He's pardoned you from your sins and worldliness. He's delivered you, as David said, from the hand of the enemy. The devil's the enemy. He's delivered you. Those things God does, his deliverance is miraculous. David described it as being set upon a rock. I like to go through the woods. I'm a hunter. I like to be in the woods. I like the beauty of the wild outside. I got a cabin up in the mountains over off of 107. I love being up there. And I love those rocks and those big things that are found out in nature. And oftentimes I've hunted from atop a rock. From atop a rock where you got a view of the valley. Had my son on one time when he was about 17 years old. Both of us hunting from the top of the rock. I understand what it is. He said, "God's put me up on a rock. I'm not in the clay anymore. I'm not in the danger anymore. But God's given me a sure footing, a place where I can stand, where I can feel confident, where I have been delivered, and I am obviously stronger because of it." He said, "This is the fortress of my emotions and my spirituality. This is the place where God has given me a barrier, a defense. God has put me in a position where I can now stand for God, not just fend off the evil, but now I can take an aggressive stand for God. God has given me a different outlook on life." You know, sometimes Christians just need a different outlook. It's not always that we're running from the enemy, trying to keep the devil away from our kids. Sometimes we need to be on an aggressive mode. We need to run into the battle knowing that God has got Goliath by the throat. Amen. and we're going to win. David seems to sense that. God has put me upon the rock. It's the rock of leadership and the rock of deliverance. He called it the rock of Israel. It's given me a place. And by the way, after David died and the mourning was over and Solomon took the place of the throne, it's quite clear that David had not only been the rock and the foundation during his leadership in Israel, but he had established one for his son. He had piled up all the gold and silver and the things needed to build the sanctuary of God. He had established the priesthood in Israel in its order. He had set the laws of God far above anything else in the land. And he had liberated them from the wild things of wickedness, the little gods and statues of their day. David was quite a guy, and God put him on quite a rock and made that rock quite a viewpoint and quite a sounding place for the things of God. But David's rock was strong in his life. It was his moral conviction that God had given him. And he had learned by experience, deliverance from God can be real. It was the ways of God. The deliverance of God is, like I said, always his way. The Bible teaches us that he had established, and David said this, he established my goings, the path I walk. I've been at this now over 51, 52 years. I've been at this. This thing called preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, living for him. I've been living for him longer than that. My Lord, I've been living for him since I was 9 years old. And I've been walking with the Lord as a servant of God since I was 16. I understand what it is to have God establish your way, the way you're going to live and the way you're going to die. I want to die. I talk to God about it quite often, by the way. I want to die so I can look my children in the face and say, Jesus is real. Heaven's within view. And I'm going to wait at the door for you. I've prayed for my kids every day, seems like since they've been born. And God gives me more and more to pray for. My son married the widow. My son's wife died, and he married the widow of one of our missionaries and brought me 7 more grandchildren, 2 more great-grandchildren. What a wonderful thing. I can't pray for all my kids now in 2 minutes. It takes a little longer. But I thank God for that. I want God to print his name on their lives. I want them to walk in the shadow of the King, feel the warmth of the light of the Holy Spirit. Those things can't happen if God don't establish my footing. And that won't happen in your home either if you don't let God establish your going. You got to let God lead you. David says he's established my goings. Paul wrote he's made me an acceptable sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, a living sacrifice. I want to do the right thing, David seems to indicate. And Paul all the time wrote, just like David did, the righteousness and the holiness of walking with God. And David was one who did. He had his failures. He had his sins, just like us. He had his sins. But he didn't give up on God, and God didn't give up on him. And you don't need to give up on God, because he will not give up on you. You got to go with him. Then finally, there's the confidence worth singing about. I like this. He put a new song in my mouth. I like to sing. I've been singing since I was born, I guess. My 2 great-grandchildren that live the closest to us, Elena and Luke. Luke is 2. Elena's 3. I believe Elena knows by heart more songs than I do. I never in my life. She'll sing. She'll get a book that she can't reach. She grabs a book and she jumps up on our hearth and she just opens it and starts singing like crazy. But all the songs she knows are about the Lord Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. It don't get better than that. And I don't get tired listening. I record it on my phone. I'm gone 3 months out of the year preaching to Northerners. All them folks that come in out of the snow in Florida. But I've got the songs of my grandchildren on my phone. And I can hear them sing. And they call me and FaceTime Papa and Mama and sing to us. Now, what do you want, by the way? Isn't that what you want? That establish your goings with the presence of God. and drag them in behind you when you go home. You can do that. You can do that. David said, he's put a song in my heart, a song in my mouth. I'll sing of the glory of heaven. I'll sing of the delight to do his will, verse 8. I'll sing of the righteousness among the many, verse 9. I'll sing of the faithfulness and salvation of the Lord, verse 10. I'll sing of unending kindness and wonderful truth, verse 10. God's put a song in my heart. I want to tell others of Christ and the hope that's found in the Lord Jesus. Don't you? It should be our goal to tell and sing the stories of Christ. David did say in verse 17 something very strange but very human and humble. He said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord has considered me. Now that's every one of us, is it not? I'm among the needy and the poor. Yeah, the Lord has heard my cry, heard my prayer. He's heard Tim's prayer. I prayed with him over the phone last night. He's heard his prayer. He'll hear your prayer as well. And then verse 16 says, let all of us say, the Lord be magnified. God deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. He deserves our love. He deserves our consideration. He deserves our life. Give it all to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. Fill the pulpit for a great man who loves you, loves this church. His heart's here. His heart's here, Father. His heart's here. But today he's a broken man. I pray you'd lift him up and encourage him and strengthen him. But thanks again for letting me fill in the pulpit for him today. I pray for his people. I pray the Lord you'd touch them and you'd use them and you'd help them to grow and to reach out into their families and neighborhood and draw in those who don't know you. They are the light in this valley. Now, Lord, I pray you'll be in our service here. You'll go through the pews of this church and you find the one who needs to be encouraged. You'll encourage them. If there's one here today who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray in the moments ahead they'll consider Christ and give themselves to you. And have your way in my heart. Thanks for sustaining me today. Thanks for holding me up. I appreciate it and I love you for it. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand and turn to page 245. Page 245.
If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to come and pray with me, come down and let us pray together. Would you come? Thank you for being here today. Do pray for your pastor and his family. And if the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, you need to talk to him. He waits eagerly to hear your voice. So talk to the Lord. God bless you.
one, but remember all the mountains, remember in the family, at this time of